الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأستعيذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, in last week's khutbah I talked about the akhlaq, the manners of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and I'd like to continue the same theme this week and how Islam has emphasized the importance of making sure that we take care of the people around us. Many of us, we limit our Islam to what we do in the masjid, or what we do at a particular time of the year, or the Islam that we do in terms of just the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Islam is much more than that. Islam is a complete way of life which dictates to us how we are supposed to spend our life from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep. And included in that is the interaction that we have with the people that are around us. So today's khutbah will be about how we can benefit humanity. How can we be good towards humanity and people around us, so that we can be complete Muslims. For that, we're going to ponder into a couple of ahadith which have been told to us by the Prophet ﷺ. First of all, ahadith Qudsi. Ahadith Qudsi is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is narrated by the Prophet ﷺ. So it's actually a hadith, but in that hadith is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the human beings. The difference between a hadith Qudsi and a Quranic ayah being that the Quranic ayah was verbatimly narrated to us, meaning it was given to us word for word by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was told by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that this is a Quranic ayah. And a hadith Qudsi, it could have variations in wording from the Prophet ﷺ. So the first hadith is a hadith Qudsi. The Prophet ﷺ narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses humanity and says, يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ إِسْتَطَعَمْتُكَ فَلَمْ تُطَعِمْنِي. O son of Adam, I sought food from you. I asked for food from you, and you didn't feed me. So the person will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, Ya Rabbi, كيف أطعمك وأنت رب العالمين? O Allah, O my Lord, how can I feed you and you are the Lord of the worlds? You are the one that sustains everybody. How is it that you are asking for food and I could feed you? قال استطعمك عبدي فلان فَلَمْ تُطْعِمْهُ أَمَّا لَوْ أَطْعَمْتَهُ لَوْجَدْتَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدِي. Such and such a person, he asked you for food and you did not feed him, and if you had fed him, you would have found him with me. يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ إِسْتَسْقَيْتُكَ فَلَمْ تَسْقِنِي. O son of Adam, I asked for water from you and you did not give me water. So the person will say, Ya Rabbi, كيف أسقيك وأنت رب العالمين? O Allah, O my Lord, how can I give you water? How can I quench your thirst when you are the Lord of the world and you sustain everybody? قال, استسقاك عبدي فلان فلم تسقه. Such and such a person, he asked you for water, you did not give him water. أما لو سقيته لَوَجَدْتَ ذَٰلِكَ عِنْدِي. If you had given him water, you would have found him with me. يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ مَرِضْتُ فَلَمْ تَعُدْنِي O son of Adam, I was sick and you did not visit me. قال يَا رَبِّ كَيْفَ أَعُودُكْ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ He will say, O my Lord, how can I visit you for sickness when you are the Lord of the world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, أَمَا إِنَّ عَبْدِي فُلَانًا مَرِضْ فَلَمْ تَعُدْهُ أَمَا لَوْ عُدْتَهُ لَوَجَدْتَنِي عِنْدَهُ That such and such a person, he was sick and you did not visit him. If you had visited him, you would have found me there. So this hadith actually tells us that when we are fulfilling the needs of human beings, when we are watching out for our brethren in humanity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that so much to such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying that if you do such and such a thing, if you fulfill these needs of human beings, you would find me there. Even more so than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this does not mean we neglect the fara'id and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and focus on these things. Of course, we have to do those things. But we should not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and neglect the needs of humanity. We should not forget to fulfill the rights of the humans that are around us. There's another hadith which I'd like to talk about, and that covers a lot of things. It's mentioned by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and says, أن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال A person came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he said, يا رسول الله, أي الناس أحب إلى الله؟ وأي الأعمال أحب إلى الله؟ He said, which of the people are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And which of the deeds are the most beloved and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ The most beloved person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the most beneficial to humanity. The one who benefits humanity the most is the one who is most loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ سُرُورٌ تُدْخِلُهُ عَلَى مُسْلِمٍ The best of the deeds that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happiness that you put into the heart of a Muslim. The best of the a'mal is not the hajjud or, you know, worshipping all day and all night. The best of the deeds according to this hadith, and again it would depend on the situations which are prevalent at that time, that would make the deed more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. If the need is so great that people all around you are worried and upset and they need some solace and they need somebody to put a loving arm around them, to comfort them, then the best of the deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happiness that you put into the heart of a Muslim. أَوْ تَكْشِفُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً Or you remove some kind of worry from a human being. أَوْ تَقْضِي عَنْهُ دَيْنًا Or you give a debt on his behalf. You fulfill a debt on his behalf. He is in debt and you fulfill that debt. That is the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوْ تَطْرُدَ عَنْهُ جُوعًا Or you remove hunger from him. وَلَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَةٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ The Prophet ﷺ said, and just pay attention to this part of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, that I should walk to fulfill the need of my Muslim brother is more beloved to me than I make i'tikaf in this masjid for a whole month. In the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, Masjidun Nabawi, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if I am walking to fulfill the need of my Muslim brother, that is more beloved in my heart and that is more worthy in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than me spending i'tikaf in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, Masjid Nabawi, for a whole month. And we know the deeds in Masjid Nabawi are multiplied 50,000 times than in any other masjid of the world. So the i'tikaf of the Masjid Nabawi is going to be multiplied 50,000 times than in any other masjid. And yet the Prophet ﷺ is saying that I fulfill the need of my Muslim brother is more beloved to me than I spend a whole month in the i'tikaf in this masjid. وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. Whoever stops his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide his awrah, meaning the deficiencies that he has and the sins that he may have committed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to hide those sins if he stops his anger. He becomes angry with somebody and he stops that anger. He controls that anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide his sins from other humans in this world and inshaAllah in the hereafter. And the hadith goes on to say, وَمَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظَهُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُمْضِيَهُ أَمْضَاهُ مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ رَجَاءً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whoever swallows his anger, and he has the ability to take out his anger at that time. There's somebody who's weaker than him, who made him angry, and he has the ability to take out the anger on that person, and to basically just beat the person up. But he swallows his anger. The Prophet ﷺ says, for that person, there will be hope. He will have hope on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill his heart with hope on the Day of Judgment. On the day when everybody is going to be worried about what the outcome is going to be. Even the Anbiya ﷺ are going to be worried about what the outcome is going to be. But the simple act of swallowing one's anger is sufficient to give him hope on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعَ أَخِيهِ فِي حَاجَةٍ حَتَّى يُثْبِتَهَا لَهُ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزُولُ الْأَقْدَامُ. Whoever walks to fulfill the need of his Muslim brother, until he fulfills it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him steadfast on the Day of Judgment, on the day when all of the people's feet will be wavering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the person steadfast on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes on to say, وَإِنَّ سُوءَ الْخُلُقِ, bad akhlaq, bad manners. وَإِنَّ سُوءَ الْخُلُقِ يُفْسِدُ الْعَمَلِ, bad manners, they destroy deeds. We are in hope of making so many amal and praying 5 times a day and so on and so forth. But the Prophet ﷺ is warning us that if you are not fulfilling the needs of your Muslim brothers and watching out for them, and you have bad manners, people become upset because of you. You make people angry. You make people upset. This is enough for you to destroy your a'mal with which you are hoping to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Those things are going to be destroyed with bad akhlaq and bad manners. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example, كَمَا يُفْسِدُ الْقَلُّ الْعَسَلِ, as vinegar, it makes honey go bad. Similarly, the bad akhlaq, bad manners will destroy the good deeds. Apparently, when vinegar is mixed with honey, it makes the honey go bad. So similarly, this is the example that the Prophet ﷺ gave for a person to make sure that he keeps his manners good and he makes sure that he fulfills the needs of his Muslim brothers that are needy around him. Can you please fill these spaces up in front? People are standing in the passageway. Please fill up the space in front. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he emphasized that the most beloved of people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is most beneficial to humanity. And when we are saying that he is the most beloved, what does that mean? It's not something that should be taken lightly. It's not something that we should undermine or underestimate. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. And he is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that entail? First of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, that means that he will not punish us. He will not punish us if he loves us. And that's why, where it's mentioned in the Quran, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ فَلِمَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. Some groups from the Jews and the Christians, they said that we are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are the chosen people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by saying, فَلِمَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. If you are so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are the chosen people, why is it that he punishes you because of your sins? So the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not come to those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. After that, we have to understand also that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Jibreel alayhi salam, أَنَا أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّهُ. So, Jibreel alayhi salam is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I love such and such a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him, you also love him. And then Jibreel alayhi salam loves him. When Jibreel alayhi salam loves him, he announces to the whole creation on this earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such and such a person. The whole creation should love him. So because of that, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also spread out and disseminated amongst the creation, and the creation and the human beings start to love that person. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person should not be taken lightly. It has far-reaching consequences. It has a lot of effect for us in this world and also in the hereafter. The hadith says that if a person takes away the worry of a Muslim, and takshifa an muslimin kurbatan, if you take away any problem from a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that so much. In another hadith is mentioned, man naffasa an muslimin kurbatan min kurab ad-dunya naffasa Allahu anhu kurbatan min kurab yawm al-qiyamah. If somebody takes away the worry of a human being, of his Muslim brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away from him the worries of the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment, in which all of humanity will be standing to be judged for their deeds. The day which is 50,000 years long. 50,000 years long. And the sun is going to be right above our heads. 2 miles, it's mentioned in a hadith. And the word meal, it can be either 1 mile, or meal is the thing, the stick which is used to apply kohl to a person's eyes. So it could be just the size of a small stick. And people are going to be worried and upset, not knowing what is going to happen to them. Either eternal happiness and bliss and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or eternal destruction and punishment forever and ever. And you can imagine what kind of grief a person is going to be in. People are going to be naked, but yet they will not even notice their own nakedness. And they will not be ashamed of their nakedness because they will be so worried about what is going to be their outcome. So if we are taking away the worry of a Muslim brother in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the worries on the Day of Judgment, and we will have that happiness on the Day of Judgment. And obviously there are hadith which indicate that that a person who loves somebody else solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a shade on the day of judgment, on the day in which there is no shade except the shade of his arsh, the shade of his throne. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those people. The day of judgment, it is such a worrisome time for all humans. It is mentioned that people will go to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and ask them for intercession. And even the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will throw their hands up and say that we have nothing, we cannot do anything. And even the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will recount their minor mistakes that they might have made in the worldly life. And keeping those mistakes in front of them, they will think that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might punish me for that mistake. And yet we are flooded with sins. We are drowning in sins. And yet we have no worry about standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. We have to think very, very carefully about how we're going to stand in front of Allah and how we're going to answer for our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. The thing is that many of us, we really limit our deeds and our a'mal to what we do in the masjid. And particularly, I get reports and complaints from our sisters who maybe send me anonymous emails or leave me voice messages or talk to me on the phone. And they say, well, I don't want to mention my husband's name, but he comes to the masjid all the time. But yet, at home, he's doing this, this and this. He's abusing me, verbal abuse, physical abuse, and the whole nine yards. So, we have to think along the lines of this hadith. That what are we doing? Yes, I'm praying five times daily. Yes, I'm giving charity to the masjid. But the very people that are supposed to be closest to me, they're complaining about my manners and my akhlaq. Isn't this a form of hypocrisy? Isn't this a form of nifaq? We have to be internally, within our households, the best example. Just as the Prophet ﷺ was the best within his own household. How was he? How were his manners? We mentioned last week how loving he was towards his wives. And I mentioned how the Prophet ﷺ, when somebody used to give any kind of a drink, he used to insist that his wife drink from that cup first, and then he used to drink from it, and he purposefully used to put his mouth where his wife put her mouth to show love and affection for her. That was the love of the Prophet ﷺ and the manners within his household. And whenever any meat used to come, he used to insist that the wife eat from the meat first, and then the Prophet ﷺ used to bite that piece of meat exactly where the wife had bitten it, to show his love and affection for her. So when this was the case with the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ, and we are supposed to follow in his footsteps, then that means that we are so far away yet. There is so much effort that needs to be made. We are not even close. We're not even close to what we are supposed to be doing. So we have to keep these hadith in mind when we are outside the masjid. We're not supposed to be Muslims just inside the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Just a few announcements, inshallah. Everyone is requested to donate to the masjid as much as possible so we can cover monthly expenses. We've mentioned many times before that the running expenses of the masjid are approximately $30,000 per month. So that has to be, you know, fulfilled, and we ask the community to try to fulfill their pledges and try to donate every week. You know, just have in mind that whenever you come to the masjid, just reserve $20 per week for the masjid, inshallah. Ikna Mass are going to have the Young Muslim Quiz Competition that's going to take place on February 24th and March 9th at IANT. registration is open for kids aged 3 through 25 at ymquiz.com. ymquiz.com. The Muslim Legal Fund of America is hosting a banquet. That's tomorrow. And this dinner will be held at Richardson Hotel. The program begins at 6 p.m. Flyers are available in the lobby. The Mina Family Days is going to take place on Saturday, February 9th from noon to 5 p.m. And that's going to take place at Collin County Adventure Camp. And also these flyers are available in the lobby. Islamic Relief will hold a fundraising banquet called Building for the Future featuring Shahid Afridi, the famous cricketer. That he's going to be there on Friday, February 15th. That's next Saturday, 7 p.m. at the Crown Plaza Hotel. And the Indian Muslim Council of USA is presenting a documentary screening, The Status of Muslim in India, The Challenges and Prospects, that's going to take place tomorrow here at 8 p.m. And we have a guest speaker also who is, instrumental in fighting for the rights of Muslims in India. He's going to be speaking tomorrow. Brother Nazim and his family were blessed with a baby boy this morning. Brother Nazim, he's with us now, I saw him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and his boy. And they have named him Muhammad Abdul Muqeed. And the 2008 calendars are available at $5 each. From the office, you can take them whenever you want to do so, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور